Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
Well, you get bored with 1-2-1-2, don't you? You get these really clever guys who are really into PA equipment. They can only count to two. It just amazes me. Don't know how many of you may have noticed, but isn't God awesome?
Yes.
All in favour say, yes. No, he's great, eh? Yeah. I mean, really. really great. And God is mint. And he's just got such love. His love for you. It's just incredible. What an amazing word that Martin brought during the message. You know, we do, we just get, it's like some automatic fallen bit of us that gets locked into clocking on with God and clocking off. And, oh, have I got enough God point? Have I spent enough time with him? And it is outside of time. So, of course, he desires our presence as we desire his presence. But you see, we're saved. We're set free. We're not. He doesn't judge us by our performance. And sometimes we put a massive performance on for him, and he's not that bothered, because we're not judged by it. We've been judged. We were found guilty. He paid the price for us, and now we're set free. And why did he set us free? What was it for?
Freedom.
For freedom. Sorry, guys. It was for freedom that God has set us free. Christ has set us free. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, one or two praising. Wonderful, wonderful. And God's got his love for you. He's set you free. And he's got dreams for you.
Yes.
And when we talk about God, it's your Father. It's your new heavenly Father. And he's outside of time, so he's still our new heavenly Father. And he has got big dreams for you. He is not into survival mode. How many Christians do you meet that would be really glad if they can get through to next Sunday and make it to church? That's like the pinnacle of their expectation in their walk with God. Who knows that God's got just a little bit more than that? Because you're wrong, it's even more than that. I mean, hasn't God got so much for us? He has given us so much. He has invested so much. Now, he tells us to put our seed into good soil. Well, he's put his seed into you. God thinks you are good soil. Oh, just thought of that. Would you like that? Can you write it down quick before someone else uses it? Put that on Twitter this week. No, God has sown his life, his spirit, his seed into you. You must be not rocky ground, not thorny ground, not shallow ground. You guys are good ground. You are good soil. You know, for those of you that aren't used to biblical speak, that must sound really weird. Went to church and he said I was really mucky, but it was good muck. Hey, you mucky lot. But no, you are such good soil, and God has invested good seed into you. There is going to be some harvest in your lives. Amen. And you are going to touch lives around you. You don't have to try to do it. You're going to do it. Just because you are who you are in him, set free, and that he has sown good soil, good seed, into good soil. Oh, dear. And the devil's kingdom is divided, so that's not going to stand. But we're going to stand, therefore, because it was for freedom that he set us free. Stand, therefore. Oh, good stuff. If anyone's got a Bible, I've got half of one. If anyone's got a Bible, it's a good half, though. Second half is always a good half. Ephesians 6:13. This is a stand. So if you're getting bored, just look at this. This is a visual stand. Right, Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up bits of the armour that you like, the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. I think the Holy Spirit's trying to get at something here. I'm reading from the New King James, but it still uses words like girded. Don't know what it means, but it's in here, you know. Having girded your waist with truth. It's the belt of truth, isn't it? Other translators say, putting on the belt of truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, or right standing with God. You see, you put your belt on, your pants don't fall down, do they?
That's right.
So lesson number one, spiritually speaking, don't get caught with your pants down.
That's it.
Get your belt of truth on.
Yes, absolutely.
I only say things like that to humiliate Claire, really. And it works quite well. But no, I mean, the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
And it's for freedom.
Yes, come on.
So come on, if the truth sets you free, you are really free.
Yes.
So don't get sidetracked on other things. Let's get into the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because then you'll be free, wholly free, and nothing but free. That's another one for Twitter later. Oh dear. Having shod your feet, so you put your shoes on, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench some of the fiery darts. All of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is great armour, isn't it? And I haven't got any bits and pieces today, but they're talking about the old Roman soldier, aren't they? And those of you that are Asterix fans will have a good idea of what a Roman soldier looks like. And he's got his nice big square shield and his little about foot-long sword, wasn't it? That was really agile and they could get under all the... Yeah, anyway, don't get into all that. And they had the good helmet with the bits that dangle down the side and all that. All essential, you know, your helmet. Think salvation. It's protecting your thinking. It says renew your mind. It doesn't say pray that God will renew your mind. He's renewed your life, your spirit. Your mind is your responsibility. So get on and renew your mind. Protect yourself and renew and think saved thoughts.
Yes.
Think salvation thoughts. I'm not going to tell you what to think, but maybe how to think. You know, it's good to be thinking on the positive, thinking about, not positive thinking for the sake of it, but you're saved now.
Yes.
You've been given incredible hope.
Yes.
Hope is a good thing.
Yes.
I mean, really good.
Yes.
Sometimes we confuse it with faith, but it's not to be confused with faith, but it's a good start if you're hoping. I remember hearing about a African preacher. He actually said, you know, if people come to him for prayer, and they've got a long face, he won't pray for them. You know? You're asking me to pray and you're not in faith. It's not at all like the horse that went into the bar and the barman said, why the long face? Nothing to do with that. But, you know, if you come and you're just like, oh, I've lost all hope. Can you pray for me for healing? Well, you're not going to get healed, are you? You might be able to pray for restoration of hope. But you've got to think your way into that.
Yeah.
You've got to believe what the word says about you.
Yes.
You've got to get up, get your belt of truth around you, get your helmet of salvation on, protect your heart with your righteousness. You are the righteousness of Christ. You have, right, a big long word, righteousness. Not of, Martin, right. right, you know, right standing with God. It says about you having the right standing with God, the same right standing that Christ has, the same right to stand before God that Christ has, the same right to relationship with the Father that Christ has. It's awesome. God has given you that as a gift. You didn't have to perform to get any of that. That's yours. You can protect your heart with that. That's your breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, using the word, the truth, as a weapon. All excellent things. But did you notice it said about one? It said above all. Above all of those, very important, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. What you're believing. We've heard a few things about faith the last few weeks, months, but it is so important. We are kingdom faith, are we not? So it's good to hold up the shield of faith. You imagine you've got your soldier standing in the battlefield. He's got his helmet on, he's got his sword, he's got everything there, and he stood there with his shield beside him. And then this fiery dart, you know, they used to fire arrows, didn't they? I mean, if you were good, you would put oil, some kind of oil in the ground first. And then you'd fire the arrow and it would just make the whole field blaze and then you'd be really stuck. But say that wasn't happening and there were just, the enemy was firing these arrows in and an arrow comes in and you haven't got your shield up. So suddenly this arrow that's on fire hits you, say, on the shoulder. And you say, ouch, in Italian because you're a Roman soldier or Latin. And it hits you right there. And suddenly, your tunic that's underneath your breastplate is on fire. And you're standing in a battlefield with a t-shirt, a tunic, on fire. Got to take it off. Well, I can't take it off because I've got a breastplate on. So I've got to put my shield away, my sword away, put my shield down. The tunics actually were quite long and came down to here, didn't they? So you have to take the belt off, take the breastplate. Oh, can't take the breastplate. I've got the helmet on. You take the helmet off, take the breastplate off. I mean, by now, you're a little bit scalded. Something factor 50 won't help. And you take that off, and suddenly, you're on the battlefield in your shoes. So you're still saved. You've got the gospel of peace. You're still saved, but you are in trouble.
Yes.
Because suddenly you've got no helmet of salvation, you've got no breastplate of righteousness, you've got no belt of truth. They're all there in a little pile around you, but they're not anywhere useful. Guess where the next arrow's going? And you're a goner. Spiritually speaking. But you know, bad enough. Worse, actually. You know, there's a bit of human thinking there, wasn't it? Thinking that actually spiritually it's not so bad than if it's spiritual. But if it's physical, that's awful. No. Other way round, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry about that. It's being a bit carnal there. No. Caught out just because you haven't had that shield of faith up. Good to keep it up all the time. Then those don't come in. You stay. And it's great. Someone was praying earlier and I was just thinking of when he was praying about the protection that God has given us. Incredible protection. With that shield of faith. But I tell you what, they didn't wear all that in camp. Have you seen a copper these days walking around the streets? And they got this huge belt around here. I mean, if they turn around quickly, they take about four people out. There's so many things dangling off. I don't know how they get through the door. Some, I mean, they come into our home off, not my house at home, but where I work. Honest. they come in often and you see them with these belts and they've got this huge body armour thing on now, the stab vest or the bulletproof vest, usually stab vests. And they have all this armour, but they don't sit in the canteen with this on at this police station. You see the soldiers, they are so well armed now, well, apart from the British ones, but you see the American soldiers, so well armed. And the British soldier stood next to him looking jealous. But they're not back in the barracks chatting to each other in all that kit. It's when they go out into the field. And it's great to think about the shield of faith and all the other armour while we're in church together. But in when I finish preaching in a couple of hours, you're going to have to go out into the real world. And what has God called you to? What are those dreams that he's got for you? What are those things that you're walking into? That's when you need to keep that shield up. That's when you need to be going out, holding it up. I saw a great quote this week by Dave Gilpin, and I liked this. This was on Twitter. I don't quite get Twitter yet. Don't really understand. It's like a computer, like an internet thing where you can write your thoughts. And that's where I first of all get stuck. So I read other people's. It's good. Now, Dave Gilpin says, the sovereignty of God is for the beginning of your story and the end of the story. Faith is for all the other bits in between. You see, it says here, carry above all the shield of faith so that God can quench all the fiery darts. Now, it doesn't say that. Who is going to quench the fiery darts from the enemy? I am. You are. You are. You see, sometimes we're praying for God to do things and he's given us the kit, sent us out. No, it wasn't me. We said there was going to be a ministry of funny walks today, didn't we? It says, above all the shield of faith so that you can quench all the fiery darts. And sometimes we're expecting God in his sovereignty to come and do the job for us. But actually, he's told us to go. Now, let's just go back a little bit into Genesis chapter 1. Let's read a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 1. That's right at the beginning, the first book, just after the contents. And the preface. The preface, I used to call that. About a fortnight ago, Claire told me it was preface. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is an incredible thing, right? Our first ever commission, the first thing that God ever did to people was bless them. First thing he did, before he ever gave them a command, ever asked or told them to do anything, the first thing he did was he blessed them and then gave them a command. And what was his command to do? Basically, go and be like me. I'm a creator God. I'm the master. I'm the Lord of the universe. Now, I've given you this earth. Go and do what I do here. Go and do what I do here on this earth. And you know, they were in a garden that was called Eden. I mean, we call it a garden, but, you know, it was an area of land, whatever, that was called Eden, that everything that they wanted and needed and could ever desire was in that place. And they were basically, but it was a limited place, wasn't it? Because they were cast out of it. So it didn't cover the whole earth. So I think what their command was, they were blessed with all that, and then they were told to go and spread that around the whole planet. Just go out and take Eden with you. No different to us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing already. We've already been blessed. You know that, don't you? It's good news. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's where it is. I live here, mind, but that's where it is. But I've been blessed. My spirit, I'm sat by in heavenly places, aren't I?
Yes.
Are you sat in heavenly places?
Yes.
Yeah, good-o. This is not a heavenly place. This is a purple theatre that we're moving out of soon into our new building.
Amen.
Amen. You see, he was told to go and rule. At the beginning, we were told just before, Martin didn't know what I was going to speak on, but Martin didn't know he was going to read that scripture out. That he has made us kings and priests. But he's made us a king. We are a ruler. That's his dream for you, is that you are a ruler. You're not under, you're over. That's what he's done for you in Christ. And you don't need to be under the weather. You don't need to be under the circumstances. You don't need to be under the situation that you're in, because you are over it.
Yes.
You are. It's where he has placed you. Man's first command was to go and multiply, be fruitful, be successful. What's another word for fruitfulness? It's success. Not in a worldly sense, but it's success. Go and be successful. That's what, that was Old Testament. People so confuse the Old Testament with the law. The Old Covenant with the law. The Old Covenant was really, really good. That was read out as well. That was read out as well. Good. Yeah. Top marks, Martin. But when the covenant was made with man at the beginning, it was to go, he was blessed, and go and multiply. Then he said to Noah off the boat, right, I'm blessing you, go and multiply and be successful. Called Abraham and says, I'm going to multiply you so much, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he was a really old guy, older than anybody here, and I love it in Romans 4, when it goes on about the harder it got physically, the more he believed. Wow! He had one whopping great shield he kept up the whole time, old Abraham. Sometimes we get into situations where you get hit by bad news. And we suddenly go, oh. But faith isn't the producing. Faith is the believing that leads to the producing. And we will produce if we carry on believing no matter what comes. And if an old man like Abraham can believe he and his wife are going to have a child at that age, and the older they get and the less possible it becomes, the more he believes and he doesn't waver. What an example for us. Awesome, isn't it? But we can do it, you see, because the gift that we have now is a gift of faith. God has given us the faith. So can I work it up? Can I? No, it's not performance. We've been saved, but not by works, but by faith. Well, we're saved by grace through faith, and that is a gift of God. Not your own faith. It's a gift of God. The faith we use is a gift. It says in Romans 12, verse 3, I think, that we have been given, literally it says, the measure of faith. Most translations say a measure of faith. It doesn't matter if it's a measure or the measure. God's going to give you enough. Because all you need is a mustard seed size amount anyway. So we've got it in us. We've got it. He's given it to us. So in Christ, I have been given the faith I need to do anything, to be that ruler, that king and that Lord. In 1 John 1:12. But as many as received him, he gave them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. That's an interesting scripture. I was asked about it years ago. I didn't really get it. I was sort of scratching your head and getting all sorts of things. And we have been given the right. As soon as you become a Christian, you receive Christ. He gives you the right to become a son of his. That's interesting. I just became a son of his automatically. Well, you're his child, but I tell you what, you're not his son. A son is like it's like a status, especially in the old cultures, in the Eastern cultures. It's like a status. We don't go on much status anymore, apart from on Facebook. But, you know, the son is like a position. You know, when Jesus was 30, he got baptized, or 30-ish, he got baptized, and his father from heaven said, this is my son. There was like a promotion, there was like a recognition of the sonship of Christ. That's what we get. He gives us the right. The word there is exousia. It might say power. in your Bible. He gave us the power to become, or it's the right or the authority to become. God gave us the authority to become something. In the old languages that the Bible was written on, a father isn't just a daddy. The word father can be used, you know, there's the father of science, isn't there? He didn't have a particularly ugly wife and gave birth to a weird baby. That was the father of science. It's like the beginning, the starter, that the first person, like an architect, could be the father of a building. Because he has that dream, that vision of what the building's going to look like. He'll put it out there and then it'll get built. That's what the father is like. But in the old languages as well, a son is someone who continues what the father has started. So he gave you the right to become a son. When we became a Christian, he gave you the right to become somebody that can continue what the father started. But you've got that authority. You've got that right. You've got the truth, the word, the salvation. You've got those things. And sometimes we sing, "Arise, King Jesus." And he sings it back to you. "Arise, you lot." Because he's planted good seed into good soil. Anybody here feeling like they're good soil? Cool. That's not a Greek word. It's just me. A little aside, but the word son used in here is the word technon. Good. And it says the name transferred to that intimate and reciprocal relationship formed between men by the bonds of love, friendship, trust, just as between parents and children. That's what we've been called into. That's what we've got the right to have. It's not automatic. Salvation is when we believe, but then we can step up into something, but we have to do it. We have to step up. It's not a works thing. It's what we believe. Shield of faith. It's what we believe and can walk into. It's awesome, isn't it? Is anyone being a bit awesome? You're being a bit quiet. Hallelujah. It's awesome. So we have been, every one of us has been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And they're in heavenly places. But what did Jesus tell us to pray? It says, on earth as it is in heaven. So we've got this incredible blessing that he's given to us. He's given us the authority and the mandate to go and fill the world, be fruitful, be a king. He's made us a king. He's made us a ruler. We can at least rule over our own lives. This isn't about being a despot and all going around bossing everyone at work. So, well, he says here, I'm a king. So you jolly well make me a cup of coffee and get the computer switched on. But you know that. But this is about, you know, ruling in the heavenly places. This is about making a way for us. This is a way, sometimes we're asking God to do things that he's asking us to do. And it's about us getting and going for it. And maybe even being the prophet of our lives. Of being someone who says, well, I believe this is what God's plan is for me. Whenever we think about God's plan for my life, I always think about what God wants me to do. And we don't think about what God wants me to be. What is God's plan for me to be in this life? Well, a king, a priest, an overcomer. Yes. More than victorious. Yes. Someone who is completely in love with him and just receives life from him. These are things that God wants us to be. This is God's plan. He has called you, what did Jesus say in John 15? To fruitfulness and to bear fruit that will remain. Or in kind of modern language, he's called you to lasting success. And he's sown that into good soil. Good seed into good soil. Let the Spirit water it. Amen. Some of you look really upset about that. Hallelujah. We have got every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You've got it. You don't have to earn any blessings. You don't have to perform to try and get some kind of, be a really good, swotty Christian. Pastor's pet or whatever. You don't have to do that to get blessed by God. He's already blessed you. And then when he taught him to pray, he didn't say, please, Father, let your kingdom just, you know, can you pour out a bit of kingdom here? It was actually, it was a command, wasn't it? If you read it in your Bible, the Lord's Prayer, it's like, your kingdom come. Please, if you like, if it be your will. No, your kingdom come. Your will be done. And where? On earth. How? As it is in heaven. It's commanding. It's speaking it out. It's saying. Remember a few years ago at camp, Colin was saying that God had spoken to him one day and says, you command me. And Colin was like, what? You can't say that. Well, he's God. But he's like, well, that's how I deal. I'm an authority God. I deal on that level. If you want a relationship on my level, then do this sometimes, because this is how I... This is the whole point in the beginning, wasn't it? That God rules over the heavens and he gave us the earth to go and rule over. As people, our own little bit. And between us, the whole world. He said, go out into the whole world and make disciples, teaching them to obey what I've commanded you. Oh, Jesus. He's an awesome king, an awesome God. He is the source of life. And every one of you has got as much of God in you as you need to turn your life around if it needs turning around. If your life has been turned around, then go and turn someone else's around. Because you have got that authority. You've got that mandate to change, to bring heaven onto the earth. You so do. You so do. I wonder what you're dreaming. God has got these awesome dreams for you to walk up into, to step up into more and more. Might be bit by bit. Start where you are. Just doing the little things. One of the great things about looking on the internet or looking at on the God channel, you see these awesome ministries. And you think, wow, I'd love to be a part of something like that. But what you don't know is the number of years it's taken. Especially these American ministries, because they always look so young. And you think they've just come out of college and started this ministry up in about 6 months, they've got all these people. When actually they're in their 50s, they just look good. Not that you don't look good in your 50s, but I mean they look really good. Not even going to start digging my way out of that. But they, don't they? And then you think, oh, if only, and why don't we see that in this country? I tell you what, because some of these people know who they are in Christ. They know what God has dreamt for them. They know where they're going. And they have a word that isn't used much in the Bible, but I'm sure it's in there in another word. They have tenacity. Or resilience. What's the word that they were using at camp for the move? Resolute. Resolute people that we're being called to be. What the story doesn't tell you is the amount of sleepless nights, near nervous breakdowns, the sheer quantity of people that have left that move, probably greater than the people that are in it now. Look at Joel Osteen and his massive, 30,000 people he can get into his church on a Sunday morning. It's probably been double that has left over the years. If they've taken the hump with him, got offended by this, haven't, well, I don't think God's quite taking you in the right direction, and all that sort of stuff we come up with. Because we lack the resilience. We lack the humility, the resilience, the tenacity to hold on to that which Christ has called us. If we'd achieved half of what Paul managed, would we still be saying, I press on? I forget all that is past and I press on for the prize. But he did all that he did, and he was still pressing on for that dream of what God had given him, what God had shown him. What about where you are, your situation, whether you're visitors here, whether you live here, whether you're listening somewhere else in the world on the internet. What are you doing where you are right now? Is it what God has called you to? Are you pressing in to the prize that Christ has got for you? Are you pressing in, pushing through? Have you got that tenacity, that resilience? Are you a resolute believer here today? Because I can tell you something, you're good soil. And God has put some awesome, life-changing, world-turning upside-down seed into every one of us. Amen? Hasn't He?
Amen.
But are we believing? Because you can get out on the streets on a Friday night chatting to young people, and I haven't led anyone to the Lord for 6 months now on this. And if I do, what do I do with them? Where are they going to come to my church? Are they going to go? Are they going to come to church? You know how you put all sorts of things up in your head? I live miles away. If I bring my neighbor to the Lord, what am I going to do? Am I going to... You just get on, don't you? You just get on, don't you? You just get on. Stop putting things in your way. There's enough obstacles in this life without knitting your own. That's number three for Twitter. Isn't there? But you're a resolute people. It says in the Old Testament, doesn't it, about setting your face like flint. You could do a lot with flint. I know when bronze came along, they chucked it out, but it did them for quite a long time, flint. Because it's well-hard. If you've got a well-hard face, set your face like a well-hard, you know, I don't know what. Because you've got the life of God in you. You've got the armour of God and you're keeping the faith shield up. There isn't nothing you can't do. In the Tower of Babel, the people in that area were all godless. None of them had Christ in them. And yet God said an astounding thing. He said, he went down and he said, you know what? They get themselves together. There is nothing that they can't do. And that was without Christ in you. None of them were saved. None of them had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. None of them had the promises of God and the word of God in their hand. None of them had any of that. What they had was just a determination and a togetherness. We have got the anointing that breaks the yoke. We do have the fullness of the Holy Spirit living within us. We do have the awesome book of seed, therefore the book of harvest, on our lips, in our hearts. We do have togetherness, do we not? I'm sure we have a resolute determination to see the purposes of God blast through in this town and in this region. I do. I planted a church, me and Claire. We planted it, we grew it, we shrunk it, and we shut it. It was a busy 5 years. And then we moved to the beach. Well, I keep saying, Dana, when Jesus thought about starting a move of God, he moved to the beach. He moved to Capernaum, which is a seaside town. So he knew where to start a move of God from. We're just following in his footsteps, aren't we?
Yes, amen.
But forgetting what's past.
Yes,
I'm not just wanting to reach a town now. I want to reach a region.
Yes.
It's great that I'm reaching Scarborough, but I don't even live in Scarborough. I live where the beaches are really golden and the sun shines all year round.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, go on then. I had this idea for a poster. It was a poster to go to the tourist information people. It was a lovely poster of the Grand Hotel and somebody sitting on the beach in front of it in their wellies with a Mac on a deck chair with an umbrella up, pouring down with rain, a little sandwich and a little tartan flask. And the thing underneath saying, should have gone to Brid. But I've discovered now it only rains in Scarborough when I come. It's apparently sunny the rest of the time. They'll believe you. You know, it happens in all sorts of towns. Not the rain. Well, that does. But you know, we see it over there so many times, don't we? And that's the depressing side of watching some of these things. You can think, but why not where I am? And the Lord looks back and says, why not?
Yes.
We have been given the most awesome power in the universe.
Yes.
We have the power to stop God.
Yes.
And I tell you what, we use it a lot. We wield that power a lot. He says, I give you the power, I give you the keys of heaven, Jesus said. Whatever you loose, whatever you bind, will or won't be loosed or bound. We get so spiritual with that, and we pray for people, and we're loosing, and we're binding this, that, and the other. I'm good. But actually, he said, whatever. Whatever you let happen, whatever you stop. That's what loosing is, isn't it? Do we want to loose his healing into people's lives? Do we want to loose the good news of the gospel into people's lives? Do we want to loose the peace and the restoration and all this into these broken people that live around us? The chaos that we live amongst? Do we want to do that? Well, God has done it. He's put it in us, in all that power in us, and has told us to go.
Yes.
We're loosing it or we're binding it. Not by praying, I loose the power of healing over that city and all that. No, you've already been loosed. You're here. From our perspective, the heavens are full of the glory. Isaiah 6 says, from heaven's perspective, the earth is full of his glory. What's our perspective going to be? Man's or heaven's? Let's get heaven's perspective. We see the glory in all the earth. Even Mecca. Even Japan, where it's all Shinto. Even in the Forbidden Palace in China. The earth is full of the glory of God, because God is doing stuff in all sorts of places, isn't he? I feel we should stand, because that's where we started. Good time to end. Stand, therefore. Let's just pray together, you know. Let's not look in the natural at the people we could invite to the Alpha course, or invite to church, or invite to the Y course, or to anything else that's going on anywhere. The Alpha Supper, the first night, the launch. Let's not look at the natural. Let's start to say, please, Lord, can you try and get them there? Let's just look from heaven's perspective at that person. Let's not look and think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get them in. Let's just change the way we think. Father God, we're not asking you to change the way we think, because you have given us the mind of Christ. But we want to have heaven's perspective. We want to see our friends through the Holy Spirit's eyes. We want to look with eyes of hope. We want to look with eyes of faith. We want to believe that that person can be saved. Father God, we want to be dreaming for these people we know that are not believers yet. And we don't want to believe that they're saved. We don't want to believe and just have a dream of them getting baptized. Father, we want to have a dream of them baptizing. We want to have a dream of them on the mission field. We want to have a dream of them sitting in a Bible college somewhere. We want to see them in a dream running a home group or running an Alpha course or whatever it is. Father God, we want to rise up in our hearts and have these inner pictures and just be able to believe what you're showing us. Otherwise, we cast off restraint if there's no prophetic vision. Father God, I want to pray that you would just continue to lead us into a new place. Thank you, Father God, that we're in a new place now. That the church began again 2 years ago. But there's another sense in which it's beginning again today. This is the first Sunday of the new trust. And well, that's just kind of organization of finances. There's a freedom in that for us to follow what you are wanting us to do. There's a freedom for us to just stretch out. There's a new seed being planted in us, Father God. And we want to thank you so much that we can be a part of something that is going to be different than it is before. We're not planting, growing, shrinking and shutting here. Hallelujah. We're growing. We're being fruitful. We're here for lasting success. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you that everybody that is in this building, well, in this room today, in the room outside today, Father God, we are good soil. I want to thank you that you've shown us that today, that we're good soil. That's a prophetic word straight from heaven. That's not in any notes. That's God speaking to you. You are good soil. And you have been sown into good seed. Hallelujah. And with that, I am going to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that I am the righteousness of Christ. I want to thank you, God, that you have set me free. And if the Son has set me free, I am totally, completely, and utterly free. I want to thank you, Father God, that I have been healed by your wounds, by your awesome blood that's still working today, redeeming every day. You have healed everything in my body. Oh, Father God, that you have provided for me, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. You are my provider. And thank you, Father God, that you have sown of yourself into me. I'm going to bear great fruit. Thank you, Father God, you're raising financial giants in this place. Thank you, Father God, that you're raising healing ministries in this place, Father God. I want to praise you for all the healing that goes on at the front here. But Father God, I want to praise you for all the healing that's going to go on in the open homes around this place and on the streets of this town and on the streets of the villages around this place. I want to thank you for healing in some of the pubs in this area. I want to thank you that some of the people are in the area going to say, I want to go to a pint at that pub because there's some Christians there who heal you when you go in. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Healing and a pint in the local pub. Come on, bring it on, Lord.
Yes. Come on.
Father God, I want to thank you so much. You are a creative God. And we are your children. And we are here to continue the work that you have done. So I want to pray, Father God, that you'd continue in us that work of creativity that's going to rise up in this place. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You are good, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. I want to thank you for tea and for coffee. I want to thank you for love because faith works through love. And without the love, we can have all the faith we want. I want to pray, Father, you'd up our love levels as well. You've filled our hearts with your love. We don't want to bind that love in our hearts anymore. We want to loose that love into each other. So, Father God, I want to thank you for all that you're going to do through us in the next few weeks and months. Oh, I can't wait to see it. Oh, it's going to be great, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I just want to repent. I just, oh, for the time that we have used our power to stop God. Those moments, those big things, the little things. That we have used those times to stop the power of God from flowing into a situation. Father, we're sorry that we've missed it at times. We're sorry that we've fallen short of your glory. We haven't seen your glory come because we fell short in that situation. But Father God, I want to pray that we'd become more attentive, more attuned to those occasions, Father, when you're wanting to flow through us, that we can loose you. Loose your love, loose your power more effectively into situations, whether involved in things like street angels or whether it's someone just come round for coffee. We just pray, Father, that you would just loose that in us in the name of Jesus, that we will become loosers of God. We will release more and more of your kingdom in this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.